Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Utah Liberty Talk. This is Tyson, David, freaking Reese. Yeah, how are you guys doing? Hope you guys are all doing good. Sorry about not having the episode last week. I should have tweeted about it. I had strep throat and I was not having a good time. So that is my justification for not having an episode. Got a great episode just done with Hunter on political dysfunction. We did some current events. Talked a little bit about John McAfee and that situation there. So if you want to hear about that, go ahead and listen to the political dysfunction episode. It should be out later today, this Sunday. This is going to get published today as well. But that's going to be out. Did a good one with Hunter. We started talking about the war on drugs and the criminal justice system. We got really off track. Had a great hour-long conversation though about all sorts of different stuff. We just led into other things, talked about COVID a little bit. And some other stuff. It was a lot of fun though. Probably real interesting to listen to. I hope so at least. So go listen to that if you're looking for a good conversation to listen to and some good stuff. Today we're going to be doing an episode with a specific topic. And since I'm only the only one talking, I'm going to try and keep it all together here for myself. This is episode 7. Last time we did foreign intervention and wars, and this time we're going to be doing a mainly educational episode type of deal on the political spectrum, political compass. If you guys are unaware of what a political compass is, it's basically like a four quadranted graph. And you have up top, you have an authoritarian section, and there's a left authoritarian and a right authoritarian. It'll be a quadrant. I think if you're doing math, it's quadrant one, quadrant two. Maybe it's a different way. I don't know. I haven't done math in a while, guys, and I'm done with it. I'm never doing it again. Anyways, you have the top half, two quadrants, bottom half, two quadrants, you know, so four quadrants, quadrant. That's why it's quad. Top left, you have, you have the left, you have the right, obviously. Those are coined terms when it comes to politics. And then you've got the up and the down. The authoritarian and the libertarian. And the way that the political compass actually plays into our politics in America today is quite interesting. Because when you look at the majority of American politics, they're actually too authoritarian. The left Democrat is authoritarian. The right Republican is authoritarian. And you have a really hard time deciphering, you know, when you have a two-party system and there's four quadrants, who goes where. And one of the main issues that a lot of people see that I'd probably agree with is that our parties are split between left and right like that. So the questions are, though, what is the, you know, what makes something left-wing and right-wing? What are the characteristics of the political compass? First of all, one of the common misconceptions that we have is that right and left wing are determined by something like social values, conservatism or social liberalism, gay rights, Christianity and religion. Those are not left versus right issues. And I wouldn't say religion really belongs on it, so I'm going to cut that out. Forget that I said that. But left-wing aspects are actually like the determining factors on what makes something left and what makes something right is actually economics. And the way I like to think about it, economics and property are pretty synonymous. So a left-wing aspect would be collective property and collective wealth. And so this is something that you see, leftists, like democratic socialists, they are leftists, and they advocate for more government influence with the economy, socialized healthcare, and those aspects is what makes makes someone a leftist. Supporting trans rights, or even those kind of things, and even maybe even you could use more extreme examples, are not aspects of left wing versus right wing. But left wing aspects are pretty much limited straight to property and wealth, money, that kind of deal. So left wing aspects, they believe in collective property and collective wealth. And so there's actually a difference between the two sides on the left. So you have authoritarian is up and libertarian is down. So you've got a authoritarian left authoritarian, and a left libertarian. And there's a big difference between that. Communists have always been seen as left authoritarian, which is true. But when you talk about, if you ever ask like Antifa or Marxists where they are on the political compass, unless they're a tanky, a lot of them, a tanky is basically slang for like an authoritarian communist, like a Stalinist. But real like anarcho-communists, like real anarcho-communists will always say that they're left libertarian if you ask them what quadrant they're in. And so there's a huge difference actually between left libertarian and left authoritarian. And this is actually one of the things that people who are Marxists, communism in its rawest form, or its, earliest form, communists actually always say that people don't understand what communism was supposed to be for this reason. Marxism is actually libertarian left. And what ended up playing out with Leninism and Stalinism is actually authoritarian left. And there's a key difference that is actually what changes it from Marxism to communism. Marxism was not about the government controlling every single thing that happened. Marxism was actually the philosophy of the philosophy of the workers owning the means of production. So if you think about how communism actually is played out, you think about the government owns all the companies, or the government is the only company, sorry, the government owning all the companies, an aspect of fascism, which we'll talk about later. But the government is the only company. They control the means of production. They control distribution. The government controls everything. And that's how communism is played out. But the way that Marxism was actually originally initiated, it was entirely democratic. It was like an entire democracy in every way. It was the collective makes the decisions on everything. The collective, the workers own the means of production. That's actually what Marxism was originally about. And when you have it being in collective control, democratic control, like entire democratic control, that's an aspect of anarcho-communism. That's what that is. The anarcho-communism states basically what that means is you believe in no government whatsoever, and you believe that all the real power of initiation and force lies with the people, and in an economic standpoint, the workers. So instead of it being the government, like I said, it was the literal workers owning the means of production. And that's a major difference that we see. And that's the main reason why communists, anarcho-communists, hate what communism was, and like Stalinism. Marxists, anarcho-communists, Marxists, they're down there by each other. I don't know if they're exactly the same thing. I'm not super, super seasoned on what Marxism is, but I do know enough to know that I'm making educated, correct statements on what I'm saying right here. But there's other aspects of it as well that are authoritarian versus libertarian. And one of those things is social liberty. And this is the main difference. So like I said, left wing and right wing, you're talking about, okay, let's talk about right wing real quick before we get into this. Right wing is about individual. So left is collective property, collective wealth. right wing is individual property and individual wealth. Those are the main difference. That's the main, like, just the easiest way to decipher between what we know as left wing and what we know as right wing. So when you're on the right wing, you have individual property and wealth. And right wing politics, actually, when you get into, like, the top right quadrant, it's very, very interesting to really think about. We don't really see a lot of authoritarian right governments, like, how they really should be in terms of being, like, how do I say this? In terms of being executed to where that would lie on the political spectrum, we don't really see it. It's pretty rare. And I'll go over the reason why, but the reason why is because that's just the fundamental way the government works. So right wing, you have individual property and wealth. Left wing, you have collective property and wealth. And then you have authoritarian and libertarian. Authoritarian means less civil freedom, bigger government, more government control in people's everyday lives, and not in a monetary way, but in the personal decisions that they make. Libertarian aspects is less government, more social freedom, that kind of thing. One of the big differences also between left and right is leftists will claim positive rights, which is when you have as a collective, you have a right to someone else's work, you have a right to someone else's property, you have a right to someone else's labor, and so that's what's called a positive right. And then the right wing doesn't believe in that. And that's one of the things that, like, socialized healthcare leads into and stuff like that. But so authoritarian, you have one of the main things that anarcho-communists, left libertarians hate about left authoritarians is that they had like in the gays in communism in the USSR were killed in the gulag, and that's one of the examples of social problems that, you know, are, that's how authoritarians will deal with that kind of thing. And that was actually one of the things that early America, the influence from the conservative population made it so that this country had definitely had right-wing authoritarian aspects. One of the examples of that, of culturally conservative aspects coming into our government, would have been the abolition of alcohol. It would also be, let's see, what's another one that I can think of real quick. You see a lot more of this in, I don't want to say, like, in the time of the, like, religion being forced into government would be one thing. People saying that, like, we should make people, like, make schools have praying time or whatever. Those would be more, and you see this from a lot of the evangelical Christians, particularly in the South. And that's one of the things that, like, America isn't about, but it's about, like, pushing their belief system into the government. And you saw a lot of it from, like, right, like, conservative evangelicals throughout the time. That's what also led to some of the immigration restrictions. But then you have libertarians, less government, more social freedom. So an example of this would be, like, what I'm a big advocate for is ending the war on drugs. Having restricted substances is a very authoritarian standpoint, and that doesn't necessarily mean right or left, but it's authoritarian. And one of the things that, like, people think determines if it's right or left is, like, leftists are incredibly progressive, and right wingers are incredibly conservative. And those, I don't think that that's a fair way of characterizing left versus right, because whether you decide you want to eat meat or not, or whether you decide you want to go to church or not, those don't relate to government to me, and they shouldn't. And so that's why you can't really brand all leftists as progressive. And just because you're libertarian, it doesn't mean that you're progressive either. But progressive is more of like a lifestyle choice that is really independent from government control, unless you try and enforce it, right? Because then if you're trying to enforce certain policies, then whatever policies you're trying to enforce will place you somewhere on that political spectrum. But libertarianism isn't about enforcing the policies. Libertarianism believes in, and there's some arguments between like whether or not the government should protect certain things to, like for example, some libertarians, some people will say that like, and I think that this is probably more of a left libertarian aspect, but like the government putting forth the Civil Rights Act was necessary to protect people's individual rights. And like a right-wing libertarian would probably say that like individuals have the right to serve who they want and it becomes more of a property issue. So, and at the end of the day, that's what it really becomes. It's more of a property issue. The government should never treat people differently. But again, it's like, does the government have the right to enforce standards on people's businesses? If it's a yes, that's a left-wing collective property, right? Public influence. If it's a no, then that's a right-wing aspect. So at the end of the day, this boils down to, you know, left being collective, right being individual. Anyways, I kind of felt the need to reiterate that. And I don't know if some people are going to disagree with that or not, but I've never seen any real challenges to this theory that I'm putting forward about the what really determines it on the political compass, and just kind of like reiterating how we should understand the way the political compass needs to work. Okay, where was I at? And then, okay, so let's think of like a left libertarian policy. A left libertarian policy, if you were to put it in government, ending the drug war, that'd be one of the things that would be a left libertarian policy. And this is one of the, a lot of the things that we see in our America today is something that like a lot of, like this is where the bottom unity comes from. A lot of the anarchists, like all on the bottom against the state, are fighting against a lot of these issues that we see, we share opinions on. So yeah, but that was a good example of like the Civil Rights Act. That would be a left libertarian policy. Let's see. So in the top right, you have socially conservative, but fiscally individual. So you've got your individual markets, and then you've got the people that are, you know, restricting the way that people can live their lives. So you have to say the Pledge of Allegiance, those kind of things, and nationalism as well is not just a left or right thing. Like a lot of people will say, oh, right-wing nationalists, associating it with Nazis, when nationalism also applies to authoritarian leftism as well. In addition to that, so Stalinism belongs pretty close to the top left corner. And the way that like these ideologies have played out in real life and where they belong on the compass, like there's the very, very extreme of, it's all relative, right? Because if you think about, communism was very, very, very restrictive. But there are, you know, obviously ways that it could have been more restrictive. They could have, you know, literally have been thought police and had the ability to detain people based off of their thoughts. Or, let's see, one of the, like, control what time you're allowed to go to the bathroom would be another, like, so it's all really relative, because if you get really, like, what's a really authoritarian left, then you have the government taking every single penny from you and redistributing it how they see fit. I'm pretty sure that wasn't necessarily the case in communist Russia. In addition to that, you know, you would have literally, if you wanted to be as really far top left as you could be, you would have absolutely complete government control over everything. So that's why when we say that, like, if you were to say that oh yeah, Stalinism is in the top left corner. That's because, you know, relatively it is, you know, very authoritarian. I think there's a pretty good standard over what, you know, kind of amount of control government should have over people. And that's kind of one of the questions that we always need to be asking ourselves as a society. But I think that most people don't think the government should be able to determine when people can go to the bathroom. So anyways, that's what makes it relative. Like I was kind of saying about left libertarianism earlier, like left libertarianism is pretty much a complete democracy in every single aspect. It is entirely mob rule. That is exactly what left libertarianism is. And so whether it's the workers physically achieving the means of production, and this is something that also, like, firearms is not a left versus right issue, because Karl Marx said, under no pretext should the workers be disarmed. Any attempt to disarm the workers should be met with force if necessary, or should be frustrated, something like that. I've probably quoted it on the show before. But anyways, my point is that firearms is actually an authoritarian versus libertarian issue. Now, wait, Tyson, if the Republican Party, like you said, is authoritarian, then, you know, how do Republicans advocate for gun rights? And you're saying that they're authoritarian when you say that it's an authoritarian versus libertarian issue. Now, thank you, Mr. Sir. That's a great question. First of all, the Republican Party is horrible at advocating for gun rights. The NRA has lobbied for some of the major gun bills that we've seen in this nation's history. They're weak on gun rights. You know, you have a total agenda within the Republican Party to, they're both two wings on the same bird. And, you know, Donald Trump passed multiple gun restrictions as president. And, you know, this is something that, you know, well, he's a Republican, and Republicans have actually defended it. So first of all, the Republican Party is not like the true Second Amendment absolutists that some people would like to think that they are. Second of all, like I said earlier, there are different people within the party, right? The parties range a little bit. But just because you are, you know, libertarian more on one issue doesn't mean that you're in the libertarian box, because you're going to be going up and down within those quadrants a little bit, right? So you can't say that you're a right-wing libertarian if you, even if you are a Second Amendment absolutist, that's wonderful. But if you support the war on drugs and you're a Second Amendment absolutist, those two things aren't enough to put you on the right-wing libertarian, because you have them working against each other. So if everything is exactly even between authoritarian and libertarian, you're still going to be right in the middle. Like relatively, right? Because if every single social aspect is even, then should you really be in the middle? Like if they're controlling, you know, how many breaths of air you can take a day, is that really in the middle, or should they belong in the upper right quadrant, right? It's all relative, all very interesting stuff. So like, if you ask me, you know, there are certain key issues that make policies and laws and stuff like that authoritarian versus libertarian. One of the big things for me that makes it libertarian is the right to bear arms, because libertarianism at the end of the day is really about the idea that the government is not a permanent institution, and that government does not hold ultimately all of the rights. Government does not hold ultimately all of the power. And that's what libertarianism is really about. The right to revolution is a libertarian idea. And you know, it's something that governments don't really like to talk about. Why? Because governments are inherently authoritarian. And the reason that we, like I said earlier, we never see a true, like, authoritarian right-wing government is because governments are inherently authoritarian. And when you have an authoritarian government that's intervening in people's civil freedoms in everyday lives, the government is inclined to always grow more. The government is always inclined to increase its power. So when you have that same institution controlling that stuff, you're going to have that same institution wanting to control property and wealth. So that's why, like, fascism, people will say, oh, well, fascism is a far right ideology. right and left is not social issues. Right and left, their social issues are up and down. Right and left is about property. Fascism was about the government owning companies that, you know, were in the economy. So if the government is the only company, then it's far left. If the government owns the companies, then it's probably somewhere in the middle. So it doesn't necessarily mean that Nazism is far right, because Nazism, the only far right you can have is complete individuality. And if you ask real political scientists where Nazism is on the spectrum, the way that the government was interfering with the economy, there's really no way that it's far right. But the nationalism that comes with it is one of the aspects that makes it authoritarian, which is why Nazism is so bad. Nazism is authoritarian. People who are, people will say, oh, racism is a right-wing issue. Racism is not a right-wing issue. Racism is an authoritarian issue. And you still see this attitude of racism in a lot of Russian places. But, the way that the Nazis handled the Jews, that's not a left versus a right issue. That's an authoritarian versus a libertarian issue, right? If you are discriminating against someone, then you are having the government go out and target people, that is authoritarian. That's not left versus right. It's so nice to be able to say something like this, because this is such a common misconception that we have in our political spheres, that racism is a right-wing thing. We're only trained to think that racism is a right-wing thing because racism is something that you would associate with social conservatism. And social conservatism is not left versus right. It's authoritarian. And even though the Democratic Party doesn't focus on socially authoritarian things, they are socially authoritarian because they also are still supporting the war on drugs. They're all supporting massive military intervention. They're all supporting the highly regulation of firearms, the regulation of businesses in the market. It's very natural for us to do this kind of thing because our political sphere is so limited because of the two party system. It's very interesting stuff. So this is really why I guess our political sphere can get so confusing. But there, one of the things that we really need to incorporate into our political sphere better is we should at least really have major parties from every quadrant. And I think that would do a really good way of representing citizens. It's quite interesting, that kind of thing. I'm trying to think about what else I want to do with this, because there really could be a lot to unpack, but it's really just about principle. That's what determines it in certain situations. So I think it's just important for people to remember that as you dissect your conversations with other people, as you are talking about politics, you talk about right wing versus left wing. Don't be confusing like right versus left, and Republican and Democrat, and authoritarian and libertarian, because Democrats are authoritarian and in a lot of ways socially conservative. And just because, Republicans are also the same way. And this is why I make the point that they're both authoritarian entities. But that's just because the way that I view human rights relatively, they're overreaching their power. And I think that, That's one of the things. When you have an overreach, that makes you authoritarian. And when you have an overreach in more aspects, that makes you more authoritarian. The gauge, the compass. Very interesting to dissect the way that where ideologies belong. Anarcho-capitalism, I haven't talked about libertarian right. That's where I belong. It's where probably a lot of my listeners belong. I'd imagine that there's a very small portion of my listeners that are libertarian left. And I'd imagine that there's a very small portion, maybe possibly bigger portion of my listeners that are I meant libertarian left. I said authoritarian right, or authoritarian right. And that's because I have a lot of conservative friends, but I also get to engage with left libertarians a little bit more on social media. But I am a libertarian, right-wing libertarian. This means that I believe in individual property. This means that I believe in individual freedom of rights. And believe in collective anything, really. I believe in a collective effort as a human race, but I think that's, again, a lifestyle choice outside of politics. I believe in free markets. I believe in competition in the marketplace. I believe in competition in every aspect, really. Free speech, authoritarian, libertarian issue, right there. Not left versus right. Particularly, free speech is not left versus right. That's a great example of why it's been skewed in their minds. You ask a lot of left libertarians how they feel about free speech. They are huge advocates for it. Anyways, so right wing libertarian, free markets, free social freedom. This is why I believe in true freedom. This is why libertarianism, the Libertarian Party, free markets, social freedom. It's a real deal party of freedom. And it's really the only possible way that it can be. First of all, I'm gonna make a quick good argument here for free markets and capitalism. I wouldn't say capitalism as we know it. Capitalism as we know it in the United States is kind of screwed up, really screwed up, and it's corporatism, not capitalism, by the way, which is a pillar of fascism, actually. But the way that humans are so advanced. And we know this, you know, you can't look at any other species and see them like really building houses or, you know, driving cars. Like it just, you know, we know it doesn't, it's not there, it doesn't happen. At least not, you know, with earthbound entities. But humans are, you know, independent in that sense. We're very advanced. And what makes us so advanced? Well, you know, we're not bears. You know, we lose in a fist fight with a bear, we lose in a fist fight with a lion, we lose in a fist fight with a gorilla. The thing that makes us so advanced is our intelligence and our brains. And so when you talk about Darwin's theory of natural selection, and you talk about, okay, what people are going to be, and that's natural selection is not just an evolutionary theory, but like NFL playoffs, that's natural selection. You let them duke it out, you see what's going to happen, you see who's going to win. The World Cup, the UEFA Euro, the Copa America, these are all like the tournaments are a great example of a form of natural selection. So when you have such an intelligent species and that operates off of, okay, so I'm not surviving if based off of if I can tackle and kill this deer. I'm surviving if I understand a skill enough to have a job to make money. Our version of natural selection is the ability to make ourselves valuable. It's an intellectual construct about how we live. Communism and, well, leftism in general, Marxism, communism, leftism, doesn't believe in competition. That's why it's all about collectiveness. They don't believe in competition between each other. They believe in everyone is the same, everyone is exactly equal. Everyone should own the exact same things. Everyone should own the same property. Everyone should own the same car. Everyone should own the same amount of car. Everyone should eat the same thing. And that's not what reality is as a human being. As a human being, if you can't afford sushi, you don't eat sushi. Why? Because it's exotic. It's hard to get. It's expensive to make. Well, maybe not necessarily expensive to make, but it's hard to find someone that can make it properly. So that's a good example on, you know, why, you know, we have things the way they are. Not only does, you know, collectivism versus individualism, when you have collective, it's all one, like, you know, hence the word collective. When you have individuals, you have an array of differences. And this is why it breeds competition and it breeds choice. And it overall just show it's just the best outcomes. You can get the best outcomes because if you have collectivism, everyone has to eat chocolate ice cream, and this is a metaphor, but everyone has to eat chocolate ice cream. That's what leftism is. right wing, you have a bunch of different flavors that you get to choose from because you're an individual. And that applies across the board. That applies to cars. That applies to what kind of food that you eat. That applies to the quality of food that you buy. That applies to the kind of soap that you buy even. That applies to the kind of clothes that you wear. It applies to everything. It is choice. That's what it means to be about individualism, is it about individual choice. It's about your freedom to choose. And that's why, again, I choose to be a right-wing libertarian, because we are all about choice, about free will. We're all about the ability to make worth of yourself, the ability to succeed as you would like to through competition. That's what it really is like. Anyways, I think this is a good episode. I think that I put forward some pretty decent stuff here. Thank you guys for listening so much. I'm going to have a new article up on Utah Liberty Talk by the time this is published. So you guys can go ahead and look at that. I did a nice writing on the question on if the Constitution is a living document. Interesting stuff. Some other things in there. But I thought it was pretty good. That's why I'm deciding to publish it. I'm gonna have an interesting thing that I'm working on, but I'm working on a prototype ideal constitution, because I criticized the Constitution multiple times for some of the language that it has in it. So I'm working on a prototype constitution, something that I'll be publishing on Utah Liberty Talk, something that I think that a responsible government should be modeled after. Check us out on Patreon. Check out the articles. Go look at the store. Just renewed that today, actually. Let us know how we're doing. Reach out, ask questions, whatever. We love hearing from you guys. Thank you guys for listening so much to this. Hopefully it was good. Make sure you check out the most recent episode of Political Dysfunction as well. I did that with Hunter. It was a lot of fun. Anyways, thanks for listening, y'all. Appreciate you so much. We're going to be doing more here soon. Going to be getting some guests here on the show. And thanks so much, y'all. Have a good day.